You're listening to a podcast from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
You're awesome. Good morning. You can do anything with a welcome like that. I mean, good morning. Thank you. And you are the early crowd. Yes, you're awesome. Well, my name is Amber Cavazos. I have this amazing family, and we are part of the Mosaic community. We started coming to Mosaic in 2015, so we're coming up, like in March, it will be a lot of years, like 4 years, which is crazy. Time flies. So I do want to let you know who my people are, because you probably have seen us around here. We are a ministry family, meaning that we jump in. If we see a need, we jump in and try to solve it. So I have my husband, Caleb Cavazos. Some of you know him. He serves in production, and sometimes he's in the live stream room. Sometimes he's back there. He's helping me sound good and look good with a good team back there. All right, they do an awesome job. My boys help with that as well. We have Brendan, who is 17 and a half. This child is almost 18. I can't even. And he's really upset, y'all, because this is a picture from last spring, and he's been growing out his hair, and he wanted y'all to get the full effect. So I'm sorry that you don't have all the locks, the curls and stuff. He's back there in the booth if you're just dying, okay, to see it. We have Brielle. Brielle is our middle. She is 16. Brielle helps out in M Kids. She is a girl at 3 years old. We knew that if we dropped her off in California, she would make it back. Okay. All right. She has this drive that can match none other. Okay. Sometimes that's a good thing. And parenting that is not always a fun thing, all right? Bryson Taylor, it is so hard not to just let my heart melt over this child. He is 13 years old. He's the third. If you have three children, they just go with the flow. They just go. Wherever you tell them to go, they go. He looks like Brendan and Brielle had a baby. Look at him. Doesn't he? If Brendan and Brielle had a child, they would look like Bryson Taylor. All right, Bryson is a flexible kid doing football, doing basketball. You'll see him around here as well. I just wanted you to know who we are, because we're never together. Like, we're always serving in different parts of ministry here, but we do sleep in the same house and occasionally have a meal together. We try hard to work it out. I am one of eight children. That is important for you to know, because it really shapes who I am as a person. That is my mother in the middle. We did Mother's Day pictures a couple years ago, and she was so thrilled about it. That is how most of our days look, all jokes aside. Somebody was arguing. There was always something to be solved. There was always a ton of prayer because, well, she needed it, okay? When you have eight children, there are 10 people living in the house. You get to do whatever you want at this point in life, okay? So when our mother says do something, we try to just obey her, because she earned it, all right? A lot of who I am comes from the fact that I'm a ministry girl. It also comes from the fact that I'm from a big family, and we just survive and make life happen, okay? I was fortunate enough to grow up in a Christian home. I would say we went to church, okay? There is a difference, I think, when it comes to living out relationship with Jesus Christ and going to church. We went to church, and I think my parents did their best to kind of guide us and direct us to relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the things I learned early on is prayer, and how important it is. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Even when you hear the word prayer, automatically there is some picture, some feeling, some something that comes over you. A lot of that is connected to our history with prayer. Maybe it's about what you've heard people say or what you think you're supposed to say. Maybe it's about a God that you're not sure you're supposed to be in front of. But prayer has a thing. My question is, do we make it a thing, or is there a thing with it? Is it strange, or have we made it kind of strange? And please, oh please, don't ask us to pray out loud. Stop. the palms get sweaty. You're like, oh, shoot. Am I supposed to sound like T.D. Jakes? How eloquent can I be? Is this supposed to be a short prayer or a long prayer? What is that God our Father prayer? What is the prayer that Jesus prayed? What is the Lord's prayer? What is it? What am I supposed to say? What are they wanting? Are we supposed to hold hands? Please don't make me hold hands, right? What does their hand feel like? Oh my goodness. There is a thing with prayer. There's a thing. No matter how long we've walked with the Lord, there is a thing. Even if you don't know Jesus closely, there's a thing with prayer. And I would love to just convince you of a few things today. One is that prayer is necessary, that prayer is practical, and that it's powerful. Okay? It is something that, for me, I can't do life without it. And I would like to submit to you that as a follower of Jesus Christ, it is virtually impossible to do life without it. I think what we do to ourselves, if we're so concerned about the why and the how about prayer, that we abandon the practice of it. And I would like us to change that. Because no matter where we are, our prayer life can be more active, yes. It can be more mature. I don't care if you've been with Jesus 50 years. None of us can say, you know what, I've hit all the levels of prayer. Because are you going to listen to that person? No. There's no humility in that. But is it necessary? Absolutely. Pray at all times is what Ephesians chapter 6 says. It says, on every occasion, stay alert and persistent in your prayers. Jesus himself prayed to God the Father, which is crazy. If Jesus needs to do it, guess what? We might need a little, occasionally. Maybe not all the time, but maybe a little. The disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. Why would they ask him to do that? Obviously, he was doing it. It was an example to them. It was part of their practice, just living wherever they lived. Pastor Naeem could give you better, you know, like all the stuff about that area and all of their cultural things. But prayer was part of what they did. And they watched Jesus and they said, teach us to pray. Prayer is a necessity. For my mother with those 8 children, God bless her, I watched her pray. Now, sometimes it looked like she was talking to herself, okay? And we'd be like, Mom, what is your deal? Like, why are you talking to yourself? And she would say, I'm actually not talking to myself. I'm asking God to give me some help with you people, all right? We were just real. Like, we were not like, some of you talk to your children in a way that I would not understand. Okay, you're like, you're awesome and you're wonderful and I need you to go sit here. Okay, my mom is like, I need the power of Jesus Christ to keep me from picking you up and putting you in that chair. Okay, get to the chair. Okay, so my mother relied on God a lot. You would just watch her just mumbling to herself. And it was amazing. The other thing I watched my mom do is every morning, not every morning, that's probably an exaggeration, but there were many mornings where my mom was, I would wake up and she was on the couch with her Bible praying and reading the Bible to prepare for the day. I think my mother understood a very important principle, and that is that prayer is a necessity. Relationship with God requires it. Because it's simple communication. Who do you have relationship with that you don't talk to? Nobody, right? Or it's not a very good relationship. You wish they would talk, or they wish you would talk. Prayer is simply talking to God. It's talking to him about the simple things. It's talking to him about the great big things. I love that when we come before the Lord in prayer, you automatically realize how great he is and how much we need him. There's a humility that comes with praying. The very act of saying, God, you're good, and everything I have that's good is because of you. Humility. It's a trait that Jesus learned too, right? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said what to the Father? not my will, but yours be done. And a lot of time in prayer, there is an exchange of what I want and what he wants. And it is absolutely necessary. In John 17, 21 through 23, Jesus prays to the Father, and he's actually praying for you and me, which is crazy. He says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you are one. As you are in me, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. And I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Jesus is saying with a whole lot of I's and me's and you's that he wants us to experience that same closeness as he did to God the Father. Now that is so hard for us to imagine, right? A lot of times we say, well, he was Jesus. He was supposed to feel that close. But if Jesus is praying that I feel that same closeness to God, that's telling me that prayer is absolutely a necessity. That's something I should be doing often and all the time. It's not something that I should make hard. It's something that should just be part of my daily routine. We tend, again, to be so concerned with the why. I've heard people say, why pray? God knows everything anyway. I don't know why it works, y'all. I just know it does. And I would love for us not to be so concerned with the why it works that we abandon the practice of it. Let's choose to do it. Prayer is practical, and I would say customizable. It can look how you want it to look. Let's look at this prayer of David. I love David. Do y'all love David? David was so real and so honest. In Psalm 70, he says, please, God, rescue me. Come quickly, Lord, and help me. May those who try to kill me be humiliated and put to shame. Have you ever wanted to pray something like that, but you felt bad? Like, God, is it okay that those people who hate me are put to shame? Apparently, it is. May those who take delight in my trouble be turned back in disgrace. Let them be horrified by their shame, for they say, ah, we got him now. But may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you. May those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, God is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. Do you ever feel poor and needy? Do you ever take that to God? Please hurry to my aid. Sometimes I think we try to sound spiritual and wonderful and say, God, I'm just waiting on you. When in your heart, you're saying what David's saying. Hurry up, because I can't take it any longer. You are my helper and my savior. Lord, do not delay. David needed rescue. Sometimes we need rescue from people, from things, from jobs, from school, from whatever it is. You just need rescue from pain, from disease, from all kinds of stuff. You need to be rescued. He cried out to God. He needed joy and gladness. Y'all, tomorrow morning, some of you are going to need joy and gladness. It's Monday, and you have to go to work, and it's a holiday, and I'm sorry, because I don't. But how often do we just go to God and say, you know what, God, I need joy and gladness because I don't have it in me. I can't make it well up, so I need it. I need you to give it to me. And I love it so much that he's just like, I need it now. Like, I need it now. I don't need it tomorrow. I don't want to wait peacefully for you. I need it now. Because that tells me it's okay for me to pray like that. It's okay for all of those practical needs I have to come out when I pray. We take those practical needs to bosses. We take it to friends. We take it to Google. We take it to our Apple products because they can do just about anything and they have all the answers. We take it to our friends. We take it to our parents. We take it to our kids. We take it everywhere. But how often do we just say, God, those practical needs, I need you to just go ahead and handle. I need you to handle it because I don't know what to do. And you know what? My friend doesn't know what to do either. So I need your help. Prayer is absolutely practical. The prayer of Jabez, I love this, in 1 Chronicles 4:10. He said, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free of pain. Doesn't it sound selfish to pray like that? This wasn't about anybody else but him. Enlarge my territory. You know what he said in Amber language? Make me rich. Give me a bigger house. That car is great, but I want a bigger one. He had cattle. I do not, okay? I have shoes. So God, give me more shoes, right? I want your hand to be upon me. Keep me from harm. And guess what the end of that says? And God granted the request. He granted the request. I love, there's so many people in the Bible. Y'all, I love the Bible so much. Like, I'm obnoxious. Like, I have all of it, all of the forms. I have multiple Bibles. In fact, at one point, I put myself on a Bible buying fast because I have way too many. I have two that match the outfit I have on today. It's that bad. I just want you to know. But the Bible is full of so many great people that prayed so practically. Think about Esther. Esther needed an answer, and she just went after it. Daniel, man, he needed God in a big way. Like, God, I don't want to be eaten by lions. Can you just close the mouths of them? You know, so many things. I need to look like I ate meat and I didn't. And he prayed. He was one that prayed three times a day. Elisha, so many decisions that had to be made in the New Testament by the apostles. It tells us they went to the Lord in prayer. This is one of my favorite illustrations. I don't know if Laura or Nora Fossil is in this service. She'll be here at some point, I would imagine. But the way I got to know the Fossils is because Nora was in my pre-K class. So I teach in a school in Cornelius. And so Nora was in my class, and one of the things we do is letters and sounds. And so I was reviewing some letters and sounds with Nora, and she's like four, y'all. And so I had given her the letter. You know, I was like, here you go, Nora. What is this letter? And she just looked at me. I don't know, Miss Amber. I don't know. I said, it's okay. Just take your time. Think about it. We've talked about it. Gave her a few examples. I turned to deal with another student. I came back and I looked at this child. And I said, Nora, what are you doing? And she said, Miss Amber, she's holding the card in her hand. I'm praying that Jesus would tell me who my little friend is. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're melting me. You don't need to know that that's the letter C. It's okay, you'll be fine. You'll get through life. C doesn't matter. Not its hard sound or its soft sound, either one. But how practical is that? There's something that that child got about prayer that was so practical and easy. Like, God cares that I don't know my little friend's name. He does. He cares about the struggle that we have. We just have to take it to him. She is adorable. I don't know when she's going to get here, but at four, she was more adorable than she is right now. But what works for you? Does morning work for you? Does night work for you? Let's not make it hard. Does a short prayer work for you? Does a long prayer work for you? Does a rote prayer work for you? Maybe it does. I have this amazing book, absolutely amazing book. It is called, it's by Jermaine Copeland, and it's called Prayers That Avail Much. And it has a list of a ton of prayers. And interwoven in those prayers is a ton of scripture, which is why I love it. I mean, anything you can think of, bitterness, hope, a bad day, adoption, fostering, anxiety, joy, anything, success, job interview, and it's labeled in that way, which is awesome. It's super, super practical. And there are times when you just don't have words, right? Like you go to pray and you don't have the words. Let's pick up a tool and use the tool. I would highly, highly recommend that book. It is absolutely amazing. I would love for us to get beyond what do I say, how do I say, what are the words that I use, and just practice it. Let's just practice it and see what God will do. Prayer is powerful. It is such a powerful thing. Ephesians 1, 17, verses 17 through 21. The Apostle Paul says this. I love his prayers. They are so amazing. He says, asking God, the glorious Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. And not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Our prayers are connected to the power of God. Think about that. Your prayer is connected to the power of God. The power that can raise the dead to life. That kind of power. Not power that is just kind of occasionally there, but power that created the whole world. Power that heals people. And we connect that when we use a phrase, in the name of Jesus. Let it be done. When we pray according to his word, it takes on a different dimension. Again, it's not something I can explain. It just is. It just is. God has the power to do immeasurably more, is what we say. Immeasurably more. More than we can ask or imagine. He can do it. So our prayer is connected to that kind of power. He doesn't have to flow through it, but he chooses to. Why? I don't know. Like, God, just do it already, right? Like, if he said, I'll just complete your list right now, you could just write it out. We would all have a really long list. But he chooses to use prayer as a vehicle to show his power and to use us, which is so, so humbling. Moses prayed, God, don't destroy your people in Exodus 32. When they collected all of the jewelry and they decided to make an idol and worship it and bow down, God said, I'm done with you. I'm done. I saved you, and now you're just going to collect your gold and create an idol and worship it. So I'm done. And Moses said, God, do not destroy your people. Don't destroy your people. And God didn't. He relented. Certain versions actually say God changed his mind. What if Moses never prayed that? So that tells me the things that I pray have power. That God is moving heaven and he's moving earth and he's doing miracles and he's healing people when I pray. It also tells me when I don't, that there's some untapped power just hanging out somewhere. And that there are people that need to be saved and healed and transformed, and broken hearts that need to be mended. Prayer is so powerful, and it is connected to relationship with Jesus. I can't pray like T.D. Jakes prays, because he prays out a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't pray like those people I hear on TV or the people on the radio or on the podcast, because they're praying out of their relationship with him. They're praying out of those characteristics that they've known. That's where the power comes from. It's not in my words. It's in my connection to him and my understanding of who he is. And all of a sudden, heaven is moved. There is a story in the book of Acts, chapter 8. Simon, the sorcerer, he just followed the disciples along. And he became a believer in Jesus Christ, which was awesome. But part of what he did is he would watch the apostles heal people. And he tried to offer them money to get it. I want the power to heal. So I'm going to pay you money. And you can read the story for yourself in Acts chapter 8. But the apostles are like, dude, you got this all wrong. You've got it all wrong. This is not something you can buy. This is something that you have to understand. It's a God that you have to be connected to. You can't get it through somebody else's connection. Prayer becomes powerful for you when you are in relationship with Jesus Christ. And you get it. You get it. So there are so many things that I think could be in the way of our prayer life being active and maturing. So many things. There could be past history. There could be disappointment. There could be hurt. There could be complacency. There could be personal comfort. I don't want to be embarrassed. Busyness. I simply don't want to get out of my bed before I go to work. I don't want to go to sleep later. I just want to scroll through my phone and then close my eyes. Y'all, I'm there. Every time I pray, I'm thinking, God, what is in between you and I? What is in between my prayer life going to the next level? What is it? Help me identify it and help me to change it. It could be Satan, the enemy of our souls. Because here's the thing, he understands that prayer is so key. If he can keep it a secret, he makes you less powerful. And then the kingdom of God doesn't advance like it needs to. So could it be him? It could be him. But we're blowing all that up today. Because you have a power within you. You have access to a power within you. And it grows at the pace you choose to grow it. That's scary. But that's also very empowering. He has so much for us. God has so much for us. And I know that part of that vehicle is a prayer life that's active, immaturing, growing. None of us are there yet. I don't know how prayer works. I don't know why it works the way that it does. But I've experienced its power. We had, at the beginning of school, we have all these pregnant, wonderful women at school. It makes it hard for you when you're an administrator because we got to cover all those maternity leaves. But we're joyful. We are joyful for them. But in the beginning of the school year, we had one of those moms get some test results that were not positive. They were 99% conclusive that her child would have Down syndrome. They did 3 different tests, and they came back the same. We stopped our meetings, and we prayed. We all just stopped. I work at a Christian school, just so you know. Not every school does that. They would probably have problems if they did that. But we stopped and we prayed. She came back 3 days later, tears in her eyes, and told us they ran another test. And nothing nothing is found. Nothing. Like, nothing. And we were like, no. Are you going back again for another test? And she's like, they said I don't need to. Whatever was showing is no longer showing. Okay? So then, fast forward a couple days, same staff, same power prayer warriors. And one of our teacher's husband was diagnosed with cancer. Well, we were pumped, right? We got this. We gathered, we prayed, we're praying scripture, we're getting it. That man passed away 2 months later. So fast. Changed her life, obviously, changed our life, changed our faith. I don't know why the same staff faced a problem. God healed one and he didn't heal the other. I don't know why. But I don't think I have to explain it. I don't. God explains himself. And it doesn't change the fact that it is powerful. It's powerful. I would love for us to be in a place where we refuse to allow the fact that we don't know how or why or what cause us to abandon praying. I don't know. There's a lot of questions I have for Jesus when I get to heaven. You can make your list too. Some of it has to do with prayer. I don't know why sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I know if Jesus did it, then I need to. I have a very practical prayer acronym that I want to share with you. And it's from Priscilla Schreier. If you don't know her, get to know her. She's awesome. P is for praise. That we praise God. That when you start praying, you just praise him for what he's done. Some of you may say, I don't even have a relationship with him. You being here today tells me that you know that there's a power higher than you. Just say, I don't even know what you're doing or who you are. But you're good. I'm alive. God can start with wherever we are. Wherever we are. R is for repent. I think because sometimes we deal with worthiness and all of that, that we forget that there is still a place for repentance. There's still a place for repentance. How often are we going to the Lord and saying, you know what, God, I screwed up really badly. And I'll probably do it tomorrow, but for today, I'm asking you to forgive me and help me not do that. Help me not hurt those people. Help me not do those things. And God will be faithful. A is for ask. Most of the time when we pray, we just skip to the ask, don't we? God, look, Monday's coming. And I have this meeting that I have to go to, and I'm going to need you to be in the room. And I need you to change their opinions to my opinion. And that child whose door is closed, I'm walking in there. And I need peace and calm and complete submission when I go in. Right? I want the mansion. I want the this. I want the this. There's nothing wrong with it, but sometimes we get it out of order, and sometimes it's the only thing we go to him for. God, I have my list. Would you just take care of it? Y is for yes and amen. That is remembering the promises of God. That's remembering that God is for you and not against you. That's remembering that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is alive and active on the inside of you. That is understanding that the God who healed all of those years ago has that same power and he can heal today. That is remembering that he put you on this planet for a reason. And it's not just about you, but he has a great big story that he wants you to step into. His promises are yes and amen. Now, we might have to dig in and figure out what those promises are. Because no matter how much I plead and cry out to him, if I'm pleading for a promise that I created, He doesn't have to do it. I think sometimes we forget that this is his deal. It's not my deal. And sometimes he doesn't answer prayer, and that's his deal, not mine. Maybe he never promised it. I don't know. But I know that the promises of God, those things that are in his word, are yes and amen. They're already done. And that should give you some hope. And that should give you some faith. What we're going to do today, just for about a minute, we are going to pray. So whatever just came into your mind, you know what we talked about earlier? She going to make me hold hands with those people. She going to make me pray aloud. Goodness, Jesus, we need an answer right now. You said prayer was powerful. Make her not do that. Right? We're just going to take a minute in our chairs, and we're going to pray through these. Because practice is important to me. You're not going to do it if you don't practice it. So let's just do it. Can we do that? We're just going to start with P. You just make a moment of prayer right where you are. Nobody's looking at you. They don't care how you do it. If your head's bowed, your eyes are closed, you look at the floor, it doesn't matter. P is for praise. God, you are good. You're a mighty God. You're King of kings and Lord of lords. We honor you, God. You are the creator of our lives, God. You keep the world on its axis. And we love you for it, Lord God. We thank you for the presence that you have in our lives, the place that you have in our lives, even when we're not even watching, even when we're unaware. God, we take this moment to repent. God, to repent of things that we've said, things that we've done that are simply not of you. God, they are not Christ-like. They don't represent a heart that is passionately pursuing you. And we repent. God, we repent of those things that we can't control. God, we ask that you help us bring to our minds those things, God, before we do them. And God, we have a couple things we need to ask you for. And I thank you you're not afraid of it. God, I ask that you would go before us, Lord, when we start out our day tomorrow. I ask that you would heal brokenness represented in this room. I ask, God, that you would simply be present, God, and let us know how present you are. For all the asks going up in this room, Lord God, I pray that you would show yourself to be powerful. And God, we thank you for why. We thank you for yes and amen. We thank you that you do have the power to save and to heal and to transform. We thank you, God, that your word tells us that you will be close to the brokenhearted. We thank you that your word tells us you'll never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that in the end of this crazy world, your word tells us you have overcome and that we are victorious. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Priscilla Schreier says this: prayer is what opens up the floodgates and allows God to come down and be involved in our everyday circumstances. I hope that you will allow God to be part of your everyday circumstance, that you would invite him in, that you would tell him about the stuff that gets on your nerves, even if you're ashamed of it. Just tell him. He's okay with it. And if someone's causing you trouble and it really is betrayal and stuff like David dealt with, then just say, put him to shame in Jesus' name. And don't feel bad. Don't feel bad about it. So can we, Mosaic, be united in this? Whether you're in the room or online, if you're at Metro, can we be united in the fact that we're not going to be concerned with the how and the why, so concerned that we abandon the practice of prayer. Can we do that? We can do it. Why don't you stand with me today? God, you are so good to us. Lord, we don't understand all the things that you ask us to do. We don't understand everything in the Bible. We don't understand why it works or maybe why it doesn't. But we know that your word is true. And God, we know that through the stories of the Bible and even stories that we have of our own, you have shown up and you've done things as people pray. God, I pray that you would make us praying people, that you would make us people who want communication with you, that you would make us humble and help us understand that without you, this life is just not worth living. God, I do pray for miracles as we pray. I pray that people would come back with stories of your goodness and your grace and your power. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your presence in this room. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be honored and glorified as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.